Hey, this is Daniel, and you're listening to Rushing Forward. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Rushing Forward podcast. Today we have Gift Egwenu, a front-end engineer and technical writer based in Lagos, Nigeria. It's great to have you, Gift. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Any time of the week, literally. So a little bit more context into Gift. She's passionate about making the web accessible to everyone and also an advocate for building open source software and developer communities. We were just talking before we started about how she doesn't rest. And I think that, like, the bio speaks to that. Like, where do you get the time?
Okay. I work, like, I have a 9-to-5, right? So I try to do the extra things I do during the weekend and sometimes after work. Yeah. It gets challenging sometimes. And I also try to, like, prioritize self-care at the same time. But yeah, I'm still figuring out the whole time management thing. And yeah, I'm not off it.
It can seem like it. But yeah, I know behind a lot of what looks really nice and organized, there's a lot of stress behind that. Usually. I don't know about everyone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned self-care. Like, what are your go-tos?
Recently, I've been doing a lot of drawing.
Really?
Yeah. So, truth is, before now, I never saw myself as an artistic person. Yeah, I cannot draw to save my life. But yeah, I think I got this inspiration from Nitya on Twitter. She does this sketch noting and the rest. I was in one of her talks and immediately, like, I fell in love after, like, it was kind of like a workshop where you follow what she's doing. Like, after doing that, I just took a pen. Yeah, sketching. I just took a pen and a paper. What I did was, like, in my eyes, it was like, shit, right? But I felt like I could improve this. And I felt really good doing it at the same time. And not just that, what really made me very passionate about it was the fact that what I sketched out is stuck. Like, even, like, after 2 days, I could still remember what I did. Like, it was a technical talk that I sketched out. I did one. It was a technical talk. Normally, if I watch a technical video, telling you the truth,
like, it goes, huh?
Yeah, but, like, and I still have the notes with me. I could just quickly look through it because they're just visual representations of things I took out of the talk. So, yeah, it's a really great side activity that I've started doing. And not just sketchnoting, I'm also drawing, like, actual drawing. So I drew myself the other day. It was really fun.
I need to see that. Okay. Is it online somewhere?
Yeah. I actually posted it on Twitter, but I could share. Yeah, I've been doing a lot.
Okay, I will stalk your Twitter after that. Or if you can, please share that. But that's interesting. Right. I mean, self-care is super important. Something I'm also trying to get down. I used to DJ I still DJ. Yeah. And that's very relaxing. But I mean, drawing, that's another thing to add to your very impressive skill set. But I mean, one thing I know you for is, I think you are quite vocal about something called learning in public. Mm-hmm. So could you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. Learning in public here simply means, like, the word, you're learning in public. So it's basically you improving your skill set and not just doing it on your own, but also sharing it with an audience. So in my case, what I do is, when I find something really interesting and something that I want to learn, instead of just, like, doing it on my own, I tend to, like, either do a video about it while I'm learning it. I know that sounds unpolished, right? But
yeah.
I've done it.
I mean, I tried live streaming because it seemed very interesting, and I just got this overwhelming feelings of, like, inadequacy, like, am I sure, like, maybe I'm really bad at this and I'm just showing the whole world how terrible I am at everything.
Yeah.
So that was feeling, yeah.
Yeah. But I've been doing it and there is a sense of what's the word I'll use now? I feel accomplished at the end of it. I'll give you an example. Say I've been trying to learn a specific thing. I've been trying to learn GSAP and I have it at the back of my head that I would learn this thing someday because I see the cool things that people do with it, right? And then
what is that again?
GSAP, it's a JavaScript animation library. So I literally just went to the documentation, did like a recording of my screen while like trying things out, and I posted it on Twitter. And to my shock, GSAP retweeted what I did. In my head, like, it was literally just a simple example that I took out of the documentation and I played with it, right? But that's an example of learning in public. Like, I've always wanted to learn that thing, and I decided to just do something simple with it, and I shared it on Twitter, not thinking about the fact that what I did is very, is not perfect, right? And people might have issues with me saying, I learned this new thing, they should try it out. Meanwhile, it's just like a simple example. But yet, people were saying, this is really cool. And then I was thinking to myself, what did I do that people are actually praising? But yeah, that's just one example out of the many things that I've done in the last couple of years in regards to learning in public. So it's basically just you being open about your learning journey and also being open to feedback, right? Because people are definitely going to correct, because it's not as if you are expert in that field, right? So you're literally just learning and also in the sense sharing and teaching other people at the same time. So it's
that's
like,
so interesting.
Really.
I mean, because for me, the way I think about it, I'm a very, I don't want to say haphazard person, where I start something, I try it. If I don't like it, I let go. Like, very rarely do I catch on to something and then I stick to that. So the whole concept of learning in public is like, you're bringing everyone onto this journey and you're supposed to be sharing everything you're doing. And then for me, with what I just said, let's say like GSAP, for example, I tried out, I post that video. And then, you know, people are like, okay, this is really cool. When are you doing your next thing? But then I don't like it and I want to try something else. And then, like, it registers as a failure. Like, you failed to learn that. Is that something you've felt?
I actually don't think about it in that. I don't think about it like that. I mean, moving on to something else, it's... If I try something, right, and I want to continue doing it, and it's my personal preference, right? Something that I try to always tell myself, regardless of whatever it is I'm doing, is... I'm doing all of this for myself, right? First of all, I'm doing it for myself before even thinking about others. So if you're concerned about what people will say, then I don't think you're prioritizing your own preference or your own or your own journey. So if you don't like it and you move on, it's not as if you stopped doing it entirely. You've not stopped the learning. You've not stopped your learning journey. You just want to learn something else. That is fine, right? So that should not be a reason for you to be scared. Yeah,
that's very insightful. I mean, I've never thought about it that way. I think, like, post this conversation, I will go deeper into thinking about, like, my priorities and what I'm choosing to learn, because I know sometimes a lot of what we learn can be influenced by what we see other people doing and not necessarily what we actually want to do.
Yeah.
How do you combat that?
So first of all, for me, I mean, I won't lie. I also, like, if I see somebody that I am looking up to post something, I would definitely want to check it out. Like, there's no lie there. But if you keep doing that, to be honest, you become overwhelmed, because I could say that I follow like 1,000 people that I want to be like, right? And they all post something that I like. Do I want to learn all those things? No, right? So it should be what do you like. For me, I have like a plan. where I want to be in the next couple of years, even if it's not really polished, right? Because things could just change in less than a minute. But yeah, at the back of my head, I know that I want to do like front-end engineering. I want to be a good technical writer, things like that. And having those kind of like big goals, you'd also have like smaller goals. Like, for instance, how do you want to be a good technical writer? You want to like improve your writing skills. So in that regard, I'll follow people that are technical writers and are doing great and just pick small things from them. Like, I followed this lady on Twitter. Her name is Stephanie Morillo. You can pronounce it.
Oh, yeah. She has that amazing book, Developer's Guide to Content Creation.
Yeah, she does. That's really good. And something that I like about Twitter is you necessarily don't need... Twitter is like a book. I don't know if it's like that. But to me, Twitter is like a book because I could be scrolling through my TL and I learn 5 things at once. Like, because people are literally just putting out what they know and I'm digesting it, right?
I think that's where... you saying that really makes me realize how important it is to like curate who you're following, because that's what you're digesting, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so being really intentional about that is important. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoy that aspect of Twitter also. Just everything it gives you and the things you learn. Sure. And how instrumental is like that platform to your journey and you embracing learning in public?
I think it actually everything started from Twitter, if I'm being honest. The first time I saw the word learning in public, it was from Twitter, and I was very curious. I had to like look it up and find out what it is. It was from Sean Wang. Like, he's like the pioneer of learning in public. But every single thing that, I won't lie, almost everything that I know today, I've probably seen it from somebody on Twitter, even if it's not from somebody on Twitter, from somebody that I follow on Twitter's blog or from somebody that I follow on Twitter's website or something. It all goes back to Twitter. And this is also because of how I curate the people that I follow. So I make sure that whoever I'm following, I'm going to get value from that person, right?
That's interesting. I think I'll do like a call after this.
Yeah, it's really important because... I'm not going to follow you. Yeah. It's very important because if your TL is full of triggering things, like obviously I'm not saying Twitter is the best platform. There is also the bad side, right? Like,
yeah,
if you follow people that tweet things like that triggers you easily, then there is no value. You're not getting any value. So it's better you just leave. That's why I see people leaving Twitter, taking breaks from Twitter. But if you're following people that are giving you value, and at some point you know that obviously they are not always going to be tweeting about tech things, right? Sometimes, like what happened last week. Yeah, was it last week? The whole racial...
About thing. 2 weeks, I think. Oh, yeah. It was 2 weeks. The past 2 weeks.
Yeah. So things like that, it could be hard to escape things like that on Twitter. But yeah. But prioritize the people you follow. That's like an advice to anybody listening.
Yeah, and me also. I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know if one thing I know you for is like you are an avid content creator, and then you also do the whole learning in public thing. Do you think the two things are tied in, are they tied together? Are they connected? Do you have to create content to be able to learn in public?
Okay, yes, I'll say they are connected. Before now, I started writing for my blog in 2018. That was 2 years ago. Then I had no idea what learning in public is. But I feel like I was doing it to an extent because my first foray into this whole Twitter thing was the 100 Days of Code. I did it in 2017. That was like my first year in tech. So I did it then. And
Did you finish?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh, congratulations. I tried and I stopped at like day 34.
Wow, at least but yeah, somewhere. But yeah, yeah. That was the year I became active on Twitter, obviously, because of I had to like post every day and I joined the community, and then it was really exciting at that point and I learned a lot. But after that year, the next year, I said I don't want to stop like the whole sharing what I'm learning idea. So I started my own blog. Basically, what I was doing then was just, if I find something interesting or I learn something from work, I would write a blog post about it and share it on Twitter as well. So I did that until early last year, I found out that there is actually a word for it, learning in public, because that is what it is, right?
Exactly, even though
that's the word for it, because I can't say I'm an expert in anything in any specific language, to be honest. Even though I'll give an example. So CSS, right? You can't say you're an expert in CSS, because every single day you learn something new or you unlearn something, and the journey just continues like that, right? But if you tag yourself as an expert, then to be honest, you're not adding anything to what you already know. You're just stagnant. In that case,
that's a really interesting point. I was having a conversation with Knut from Sanity. I think he does developer relations.
Yeah,
and I was just like having this brief conversation around like learning in public, and he mentioned something that stood out. Like the whole concept of learning in public, it shifts the perspective of you being the teacher who knows everything, and or like the expert to like being a learner and putting out what you consume, what you take up, what you like, what's new to you, what you're interested in. And then it also makes that like a more authentic sort of interaction, because you're not necessarily trying to say, hey, I'm the best at this, you should listen to me.
Yeah.
But, oh, I found this really cool thing and you might also find it useful.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Because I see like I feel like there are two aspects to how you see this thing as a content creator, right? You could say I'm a content creator, right? And I'm still like, in a sense, a beginner, a learner. And you could also say I'm a content creator and I'm expert and I'm just here to teach you. I'm not ready to take anything, any feedback from you. I'm teaching you what I already know. So doing the latter it doesn't really make sense from my own perspective. I don't know what other people think, but I feel like if you tag yourself as a learner, the idea of being in tech is you should always be learning. Like, you can't just...
Yeah, lifelong learner.
Yeah, that's the idea. So I don't know. Even if you have 20 years of experience, something new is coming out. The way the new... What is it called again? Dino came out that everybody's raving about.
I haven't even gotten into that. I don't think I will for about a year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not interested. Well, that's just me saying that it's good for you to have it at the back of your head that I am...
This thing exists. Yeah,
this thing exists, and
the whole concept really is very, very interesting for me. Like, I have so many thoughts around it, and we've talked a bit about like getting into it.
Yeah,
but I'm going to read I think this was a random tweet I saw like a couple of months ago. I don't know why it stayed in my head.
Oh.
It basically said, the internet rewards those who learn in public. Do you agree?
I'll have to agree to that. Personally, from my own experience, from doing everything that I do, which ties back to learning in public, I've gotten benefits, right?
Yeah. I think that's a good way.
The first thing that I really like from everything that I do is when I get messages from people telling me that what I posted or one of my videos helped them, or they really enjoyed this content. That is like the biggest thing that I get out of doing the learning in public, creating content. And then,
can I add to that list?
Yeah, sure.
So there was that time when the whole a day in the life of a software engineer thing was trending, and then I saw yours, and I think it was the only video from Africa.
wow.
that anyone put out. So that was really nice to see, you know. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, sounds like, yeah, that, I remember doing that video last year.
That was really nice.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice. And I'm sure a lot of like up-and-coming software engineers will see that and say, hey, it's possible. Software engineering is really cool in Africa also.
Yeah.
So that's nice of you. But yeah, sorry for interrupting you. I just thought I should
tell you that. I needed to hear that. But yeah, that's like the first, for me, that's like the number one priority, like in terms of me creating. I want people to get value from it, which when I hear people do, I am super happy. And then there is the second part of building relationships from everything that I'm doing. Like, for instance, I followed you on Twitter and now we are having a conversation over the internet, right?
Yeah, very true.
So that's like creating relationships from doing the whole learning, because you get to like meet people in real life, if not for the COVID-19. I know I would have met a lot of people by now, but you get to meet
same people. Here. Oh, I mean, these past 4 months, there would have been so much happening, but yeah. I'm sure we'll catch up for yeah. all what we've missed.
Yeah, sure. You get to build relationship. That I feel like is another benefit of putting yourself out there. Things like that. And then there is part of career progression, which I feel like a lot of people don't think about, but I've actually thought about it. In my own experience, I have been creating content for like 2 years, and I randomly had this thought, what if I never did this? Where will I be like right now? What if I never made that first for into like doing the whole 100 days of code or being active on Twitter or writing my first blog post? What if I was just like doing my day 9 to 5 and then I just keep doing that? There's going to be a difference in terms of where I am now and if I'd followed the other routes, where I would be. So in general, I feel like doing all of this also helps you in your career progression, like how much you grow. Because there's a difference between learning on your own and learning because of a job, right? There's a huge difference. Most of the things that I learn or most of the things that I do, I sometimes don't use them in my job, but I don't know if there is a job opportunity that I'll get in the future that I might need it, right? But I prioritize my own personal growth in terms of how much I want to learn rather than just focusing on what I'm supposed to use for my job and just learn that. Yeah.
That's so interesting, because I think a lot of people get stuck in the pit of just learning what they will use at their job. And I mean, I don't know how to feel about that, because I don't know if everyone is passionate about learning or self-improvement. Is that something, is that a trait everyone should have?
Thinking about it, right, people might take what I just said another way. So there is this other thing about you learning so much and not focusing on a specific thing, and then you're just like being a jack of all trades and master of none, right? That's the word. But yeah, it depends on how you see it. I think I see it differently. I see it like spending time learning things that, for instance, I'm not learning everything. I'm learning things that I'm really interested in, things that I really want to learn because I see myself using that thing in the future, right? And not just learning every single thing that comes out, like that's definitely different. So
I think there's a level of self-reflection that's needed, I guess, to decide and set some goals for yourself and say, this is what I want to do. I think it also ties into saying no. I think that's one thing I've learned, like saying no to a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm still not very good at that.
No, I think you're pretty good. You know, you when we touched the Deno issue, you were very clear about that. You said, no, this isn't something that I'll touch now.
Yeah.
So I think you're okay. I think you're doing fine. But you'd know better.
Yeah, it's true.
So I want to track back a bit. So there's Gift a few years ago just finds out about the whole learning in public thing. And I mean, from the conversations we've had, or even just people assuming, it might seem that it's just something that was natural to you and you just became good at it instantly.
Yeah.
how I don't think that's true. What have been some of the struggles?
Yeah, there's been actually a lot. And I feel like the number one struggle that I have is procrastination. There is so much I can do with the limited time that I have, right? I'll give you an example. Yeah. So this year, there's been a lot going on for me personally, like my personal life. And I still try to like do stuff, but in terms of how much I want to achieve, I feel like I'm underachieving right now. That's correct. It's because
I think you're doing amazing, but I get where those feelings might come from. It's something very, very, like, it's just in us to always want better for ourselves. So the feelings of underachievement come because you have a very good idea of where you want to be. And because you're not getting there, I mean, like, you're not there, but you're getting there. So it seems like you're not doing anything at all. I was talking to a friend who was saying something very similar. And I gave her this analogy of like an aeroplane. Like when you're traveling in an aeroplane, you don't seem like you're moving at all. And when you get there, you're like so far from where you, you know, started out.
Yeah.
So the whole trip might seem like you're not moving at all. But that arrival is really
crucial,
you know, makes things click. And like, oh, okay, I've moved so far from where I came. And so much has changed. But yeah, I definitely understand that. How do you cope with those feelings, though?
So I've tried doing this thing, which I think has really helped me. It's basically celebrating my wins, not just celebrating them, but also noting them down. So for every talk that I give, for every for every podcast that I do, every single thing that I do that I feel like it is great, I just note them down as part of my achievement. And going back to like look at them just really makes me happy. So celebrating my small wins, doing like the whole journaling, noting down where I was before. And I've also tried, it's hard, but I try not to compare myself with other people. I think that's the number one factor here, because when you start thinking of your peers and how much they've grown or how much they have achieved, and you start comparing yourself to them, that's like the killer of all dreams. That's
true. So
I used to, but I've changed my whole perspective. So instead of doing that, I compare myself to my previous self, if that makes sense. Like, where was I in the last 6 months compared to where I am now? And then if there is a difference, if there is growth, I'm definitely going to be happy. So I try to do that. And I see myself continuing on that route.
That's really cool. You know, it also makes me happy that I think this podcast will be something that you write down as an achievement.
Definitely.
I hope. I pray.
Okay. I mean, yes, I will.
All right. I mean, that makes me happy also. But like the whole concept of writing down achievements is, it's not necessarily something, it's something that I struggle with. I have a journal, but I like, what do I even count as an achievement? And I think it ties into like the whole comparison thing. Because I think for me, looking back, I think this podcast can be an achievement.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But then you see the whole comparison thing comes, and I'm like, yeah, but everyone else has done a podcast. Why would you be proud of this? But yeah, I think this is it's something I should be insanely proud of, and I will probably rejoice that fact this weekend.
You should. I mean, it's lightest.
Yeah, sorry.
For instance, I literally celebrated finishing my website. Like, I did that with Netflix and
wine. It is really
wine.
Nice, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, that is my sort of celebration. What did you watch?
I can't remember. I think that was like a few weeks ago, but I think it should be one of the series that came out. I can't remember specifically what I was watching, but yeah. It makes
That's okay. Your website is really good, though.
Thank you.
But yeah, celebrating is something that I think a lot more people should do, and like even the smallest achievement is something we should like someone was telling me about the concept called gratitude rampage, like just be thankful for every single thing, like even the smallest thing, and just that action of doing that brings you so much joy. And like there's times where we feel like we aren't doing much, or we aren't where we want, and then just taking time to like note down the smallest things can just, you know, affect us positively and like immensely. So
yeah,
that's a really good thing to share. And so like the comparison thing, the writing down achievement thing, I think it ties into a bit of like self-advocacy, like wanting the best for yourself or trying to, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does.
Let me just Google this real quick.
Self-advocacy. I feel like it's when you're speaking out for yourself, like wanting the best, like you said, for yourself. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
How do you approach that? I think that's a thing a lot of people have struggles with.
I mean, I'll be honest and say I am not perfect in this regard. Yeah. Like, I know of times that I would have spoke up for myself, but I did not. Simply because I was literally, sometimes I'm usually the only girl in the room or the only black female in the room. And I just feel like I should probably not say this. I've been in situations like this, in the past. But there is also, there's also the part of me wanting the best for myself. And for me to get that, I literally have to do the work. So I literally have to, like, let people know about what I'm doing. Like, let people know about my work. Like, if I'm doing all these things and I'm just doing them on my own without sharing anything, that is not me, like, advocating for myself, right? The more, like, this, the slightest thing that I do that I feel like, oh, gift, this is really good. You should be proud of yourself. I just send out the tweets. Like, sometimes I feel like, you're not supposed to tweet that, you know, right? Delete it.
Yeah.
But I still send, like, sometimes I'll tweet and then I'll just go off. Because I don't want to see people telling me that, what's that, though? What did you, like, why? Why did you have...
You know, that... Yeah, that is so funny because I do the same thing. I don't know, there's something about, like, I don't want to call it, like, self-promotion, but it's just so cringe. Like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
like I don't know what it is about that, but I think that's also a very important aspect of like self-advocacy.
Yeah, if you,
because if you don't share it, no one will do it.
Exactly.
And I mean, like, being who we are and not having, you know, like having to work like 5 times, even 10 times harder than most people have to, just to get the same amount of recognition.
Yeah,
it's something that I think we are plagued to struggle with, if I said that right. Like you shouldn't have to struggle with that, because if we do, then we don't achieve what we have to achieve when we need to achieve it. But yeah, it's just so
personally,
it's just so hard.
Personally, I've come to terms with the fact that as a black female, or as a Nigerian, let me just say, as a Nigerian, you literally have to struggle for everything. Last year, I had issues with visa. That is a problem that I feel like every single Nigerian that is in tech have gone through. And that is like the most devastating thing to have to go through. That period, I literally did not know if I'm going to... I don't have any criminal record. I've never done anything incriminating. So why would you want to say no to me? But in that few seconds of having that interview, like I've had like 2 visas interviewed in the last year. Just having that
conversation. How did they go, by the way?
Funny enough, I got both of them, actually. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have the worst visa stories also.
This reminds me of something
Sultan, Hak Sultan said. I think someone posted the picture of the Nigerian flag and said, write a short caption. And he said, suffer no detail.
That is literally true. So because of the stories, my friends, like people in my circle have told me, I just became afraid. Like when I asked people, how did you run this package? Like, how did you get this, your Germany visa? How did you get this, your US visa? They just started telling me their terrible stories. And I just became scared immediately. Like, I did not want to even know if I was going to get, but in my mind, I was like, okay, since this is what they do to people, they will literally do it to me. But then being this spiritual person that I am, I also had to take the situation to God. So I would just say it was just God that helped me, because the decision is yes or no. And it just takes them like 2 seconds to tell you no. Right?
That no hurts. I'm not good enough.
And they don't even allow you, like the few, when I was doing my interview, I'll just give you an example. The first 5 people in front of me, they got no. And I was just waiting to get, when he was saying no. I felt like he was telling me no. It was terrifying, I won't lie. It was terrifying. Yeah.
It is so tough. It is so tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like the whole, like there's a lot that you have to struggle with, I know. And it's sad that we just have to say, okay, this is normal for us, and we just have to get past it and look at it as something that we have to get by with.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really don't want to like dwell on that, because the stories that can come out, the whole opportunity thing. Like, I've been seeing a lot of people asking, like, you know, what opportunities have you lost and like stuff like that. And it's really I like, things should be better. Things should be much
sure.
better.
Sure.
I want to change things and sort of get into like a little personal aspect of everything going on. So like, one thing that I started this podcast for was sort of highlight the different struggles that people in tech, primarily people in Africa or usually like underrepresented people, go through when they're trying to build and make a career in tech and adult at the same time. Because I think both are quite interesting journeys. Like, you know, becoming an adult, having to deal with all those things, and then also navigating technology and building a career and stuff like that. So I think we've talked about the career part of it.
Yeah.
How's your adulting journey been?
The first thing I would say is, nobody would tell you that adulting is hard, right? Just get thrown into it.
But, like, when you're young, everyone's like, I want to grow up, because you think, you know, you have your own money, you be so independent.
I wish.
No one tells you actually have to work for that money. Yeah. It's a scam.
It is, literally, it is. I have, so I would say my journey has been good in sense of how much I've grown over the years. But with that comes the hard work, and also the part of you getting like disappointment, and then every other thing that comes with that. But I try to focus my energy on the good part of things rather than thinking of, oh, I've lost these opportunities, or I'll find it's always good to like have that reflection and say, oh, this is where I was before, this is where I am now. But to be honest, being an adult is really hard. Like, personally, I have 4 siblings, right? And I'm trying to get all of them into tech, because that is like, in Nigeria, anybody that you see will tell you that, say 20 years ago or 5 years ago, they'll tell you that all the money is in oil, like crude oil. So if you're working in any oil sector, you're automatically rich, right? But that narrative has changed, because right now we all know the story that is not true anymore. So in my own opinion, I feel like where the money is right now, it's in tech, right? And being somebody being somebody that is from a family that every single person has, okay, I'm the second child. My elder sister, my elder sister works as a civil servant. She's a police officer. I have junior ones, 3 siblings, and they're all like following our footsteps, right? So being somebody that I actually, right from my childhood, I wanted to work in tech, even though I did not know I would be a software engineer. But seeing how the journey, my journey has been, I would definitely advise anybody coming after me to, look, you need to come in, because if you want to go on and study medicine, that's fine. You spend 7 years of your life doing this, studying medicine, and then what next? Is either you leave the country, because I'm not going to lie, there are literally people that are diehard fans of Nigeria. Like, give them opportunities in the US, they'll say they are not going, that they love their country, right? There are people like that, but also you need to be...
Who says going means you don't love your country?
I literally don't know. But people are... if you're in Nigeria, you understand when people call Canada. So there is this thing that, because the country is hard, and then there are a lot of political... I feel like this applies to most countries, right? There are struggles and everything. So everybody wants to run away.
Yeah,
and
Zambia too.
Yeah, and almost everybody
I'm looking to Canada. I was having this conversation with Obina, and because I was seeing that someone was posting Ego B, something like that.
Yeah, Ego B, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, Ego B. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a struggle, and
yeah,
if it's easier somewhere else, I mean, you'd be able to thrive much easier in other situations.
Uh-huh. So for me, yeah, for me, generally, I don't think that I have everything figured out. I don't. But what I know right now is I found a way out, which is, for me, through tech. So I'm trying my possible best to, like, bring other people into it. Like, for instance, my junior sister, she's a designer right now. I'm trying to teach my brother to learn JavaScript, but he says no. Literally this morning, he came to meet me and he told me he wants to learn design like my sister. And I said, that's fine too, as long as you're still within the same tech. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, having those people follow my footsteps, it literally just makes the whole family, like, have... For instance, I'm seeing myself, like, in the next 5 years, I shouldn't be in this country, right? I don't know what I'm doing here. If I'm still here, pick me up.
I will remind you. And I think we'll chill wherever you are.
Yeah.
Be that Europe or the US.
I don't know where, but that's the dream, right? Everybody looking for greener pastures. And if you can bring people, like, don't just go alone. Like, try to get people around you as well. So that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm starting with my family first and also people around me. So if I can show them the way I found the same for myself, then it's great, because it's going to literally change their lives. Yeah,
true. It literally changes your lives. I think this has been a recurring theme in a lot of my podcast episodes, how tech in Africa specifically is set to change a whole generation.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation with someone on Twitter about how the whole COVID situation and companies moving to remote work will hopefully help people embrace hiring remotely and then change a lot of the economic, socioeconomic factors in a lot of countries that wouldn't have, you know, access to this income normally. So I think that is really good. I mean, okay, we're about to wrap up, but this is something that I've been itching to ask.
Okay.
Nigeria specifically is... Like, a lot of people, when they talk about tech in Africa, like, the first country they think about is Nigeria. And understandably, there's so much talent there and there's so many great things coming out of the country. What do you think brought that up? Like, what are you doing right?
That's an interesting question. So I like to think of this.
Hopefully. As...
What am I doing right? I don't know if I'm doing anything right, to be honest. I just hear people like you telling me that I'm doing things right. And it's refreshing to hear, but I feel like I'm winging it, right? But
true. I mean, everyone probably wings it. That's something I'm learning.
Yeah. But I feel like the people that started the whole... I mean, I'm not part of the early tech people, tech, I don't know what to call it, technical software engineers in Nigeria. I'm not in that I'm not in that age range, not age range, but basically I'm not in that group. I literally started my career 3 years ago, but if there are people that have been doing this for years, and they've not only been doing it, they've also been advocating for Nigerians. An example is Prosper. I feel like everybody knows Prosper because of what he does.
Yeah.
So, and we also have Chris Code Beast as well. So these people have
are some amazing people.
Yeah. These people have been there. True, they literally advocate for Nigerians. And the people coming behind, like people like me, people like Adora, people following, are also doing the same thing. So I'm now seeing it like a generational thing. So instead of people come, do as much as they can to spread the word about Nigerians and the talents that we have there. And then another group of people come behind, like it just keeps going on and on. And that way you see literal growth. Like the number of people that are even starting their tech journeys in Nigeria alone, and not just because of individuals, there are also companies trying to bring up more talent in the area. Like I know of this, I think it's called Andela. I used to work in Andela, and they have this ALC program that literally trains thousands of people how to start a career in tech. And they've been doing that for years. And I could say that out of these programs, they've literally made engineers, software engineers, they've made machine learning engineers from these programs. So all these things coming together as one is what I feel like, that's what is making up the whole tech talent, the whole buzz in Africa and in Nigeria specifically. So it's not just one person's work, it's the, okay, I'll just say it's community-wide efforts.
That is super nice to hear. So you were at Andela, yeah? You worked at Andela.
Yeah, I did.
So you will be part of the future very successful Andela Mafia.
Yeah. I actually left this year, so it's been a few months, but yeah.
Well, that's really nice, but I think it makes a lot of sense. It's usually a community effort. I don't know if this saying applies. It takes like the whole village to raise a child. Exactly. So it takes like a whole ecosystem to make it blossom. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
makes sense. It makes sense.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the generational thing you mentioned is like, I think it's something super important. So like maybe a couple of devs for 3 years did their whole advocacy thing and then passed that on to, like you said, you and Adora, you're doing the thing for like maybe 3 years and then passing that on to other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super important. I think that's a really good note to end on. Thank you very much, Gift, for coming on and sharing everything and just being awesome as usual. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Twitter. My handle there is Laura Gift with an underscore. I think it's the same on Instagram and every other place. And then I have a blog, giftegwenu.com.
Nice. Okay. I'll put some of those links in the show notes. But yet again, thank you for coming on, Gift.
Thank you.
And for having me. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See you next time.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Rushing Forward. Tweet us your comments and suggestions at MalGambes, MalGamves, and at CodecastZM.